that he expresses. And that's why I love the text so much, because here is something that was spoken to monks in India, a very different culture even today, in the 8th century, and is still completely relevant today. There's hardly anything. There's a few references in this chapter to cultural norms of that time, but it is amazingly free of anything that isn't just completely right up to date. So that's how this happened to be taught. And I've been teaching the entire text, but for the purpose of the weekend, I chose chapter 5, the title of which in this translation is Vigilance. But in other translations, it's called Alertness or Guarding Alertness, and I actually like that better. The Tibetan word is, I don't think I'm going to pronounce it right, but it's Sheshin. Sheshin. Rinpoche talks about it a lot. S-H-E-S-H-I-N. Sheshin. And the meaning of it, Trungpa Rinpoche translated this word, the title of this chapter, as presently knowing, like right on the spot, you know what's going on. It is actually a quality of all of our minds, that our minds have the capacity to know. And that may sound like, well, so what, you know, but actually one of the things that distinguishes human species is that we have this consciousness that knows what helps and what hurts. Like we can distinguish, they say, traditionally between that which causes harm and that which will actually benefit. And because of that ability to know, we can help ourselves. We can extricate ourselves from suffering. And we can help other people to connect with the alertness of their minds and help other people also extricate themselves from suffering. So the title of the chapter that I like best is Alertness, or Guarding Alertness. And the subject of this text is actually how to work with your mind. The subject of this chapter, how to work with your mind. Now, you see, I find this really interesting. This is a book about how to be a bodhisattva. Some of you have heard the word bodhisattva and some of you haven't. But this would be like you wanted to get out there and help alleviate the suffering of the world. And as a matter of fact, at the end of every class, we're going to chant some lines where we actually chant a bodhisattva aspiration that as long as suffering exists, may I continue likewise to relieve the suffering of the world. So it's this vast aspiration of wanting to alleviate suffering. And it's not just that there, the longing or the wish that there would be the end of violence, the end of war, the end of cruelty, the end of abuse, the end of neglect. It does include all of those outer things, but it also includes very profoundly that each and every person from now till the end of time could connect with the openness and freshness and clarity of their own minds and their own heart and be completely free, like cutting the root of suffering. Cutting suffering at its root by connecting with the nature, the spacious, clear, open, unbiased nature of our mind. The longing for everybody to be able to do that. So in other words, not just the outer suffering, but also the root of suffering, which is our confused mind. So this weekend I've chosen chapter 5 because it's right on that subject specifically. But what I find so interesting is that a book which is all about benefiting others, basically, you know, how to be a social activist, or, you know, how to, you know, get in the trenches and alleviate suffering. The majority of the book is all about how to work with yourself. There's a little bit in this chapter about benefiting others, and the motivation is always about wanting to develop yourself so that you can be there for other people. But the majority of the book is about working with your own stuff. You know, working with your own emotions, with your own confused mind, with your own uptightness, with your own selfishness, with your own ways of getting hooked and trapped and caught. That's what most of the book is about. So that's very, very interesting to me, that that the main stretch is he talks to himself all the time, and he doesn't say, hey, Shanti Deva, but basically he's talking all the time about, you know, wake up, you haven't got much time to lose, and how can you be such a fool to keep doing all those same old things you've just kept doing all your life? So you think he's talking to you, because actually that's what you need to hear. But as he says, he hopes it will benefit us, but basically he's talking to himself. Not in the way crazy people, you know, but but sometimes. So, without further ado, we will start with verse 1, and then we'll just go for a while. We'll see how long we have. There's going to be some buzzwords, I warn you. Words like sin, for instance, and evil, and hell. There's a lot of talk about hell. So do not be alarmed. I am here to help you. And I have also found that not everyone is as alarmed by these things as I am. But so, verse 1, Bob.
The Way of the Bodhisattva, chapter 5. Those who wish to keep a rule of life must guard their minds in perfect self-possession. Without this guard upon the mind, no discipline can ever be maintained.
So the first line is those who wish to keep a rule of life. So what he's referring to there is those of us who wish to wake up so that we can help other people do the same. Those of us who would actually like to be there for even one other person. Say someone is a friend of ours and they're sick in the hospital and it's triggering our fear or our anxiety or our resentment or maybe even our aversion because they're looking so sick and they're looking so transformed and it's bringing up a lot of emotion. We wish we could just drop all that and just be there for them. And any of you who are engaged in the healing professions, you know you have high ideals and then you actually get into it and it's embarrassing because you find out that these very people that you felt so sorry for and wanted to help because you felt you could do it, they provoke you, they make you angry, they